to Not So Live from Asteroid G, looking down the barrel of corporate acquisition. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And your buddy, Mike the Ghoul here, checking in with Miss Moneypenny and making sure that he's got everything covered. How you guys doing today?
We are going to be discussing, however long this takes, James Bond, because Amazon MGM just bought up James Bond, the rights, the whole character. I'm actually a little confused at exactly what all Eon owned, but considering that Eon has made movies since 1962, they at least have the license in perpetuity, like, because they just keep making shit out of it. So Amazon at least bought that, if they don't own the entire franchise as a whole, all the books and all the shit that goes with it. And a lot of people are upset because they don't want Amazon to own James Bond. They want Eon to continue shepherding a franchise that they've been treating really well for, what, 40 decades plus?
Now, yeah, 50 years, give or take, right?
Yeah, 62 to 25 now, so that's like 43 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
62 to 25, that's 60 that's years.
60? You're right, that is 60. Yeah. Hey, look, I can't math. Ooh, look at that.
63 years, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of time.
Wow.
Sean Connery is fucking old.
Yeah. God, rest in peace, my brother. You'll always be my original James.
Yeah, so it's interesting because, well, we've discussed James Bond before. And you know that I'm not the biggest fan of the franchise. I think some of the movies are good. I can probably count on one hand and not use all the fingers the number of movies I would actually go back and watch again. But so, like, people saying, oh, Eon has treated the franchise so well. I'm like, have they? Question mark?
If Bond is, like, there's a certain formula to a Bond movie like, it can kind of get old over time. So, like, I see your point. But, like, I mean, to the people that enjoy what that brings, like, they at least they know they can rely on, they're going to get that story that Bond is supposed to tell you, and maybe that's what they're afraid is going to happen, that they're not going to get the story that they're used to.
I mean, I could see that to a certain extent, but I mean, even then, like, the fucking Daniel Craig movies have, like, kind of reinvented that for a couple before they sort of fell back and then fell away, and the Daniel Craig quintilogy is a bit of a mess, but that's besides the point. The fact is that, like, I think there are better spy movies that have come out in and around James Bond. Most of the Bourne movies.
Yeah, they're very, very good.
Other things like that, that, like, you could just point to, like, oh, I like these better. Is James Bond actually, is he still relevant? And then every once in a while they do something like fucking Casino Royale, which makes him relevant again, which is great. And then gets tired again. But whether or not you agree with Eon, I don't think that Amazon is necessarily the best choice to take over this franchise, because while Eon liked to keep the movies coming at a steady pace, Amazon's going to turn it into content.
And that just adds that other layer of fear that I think the fans have. We've talked on this podcast ad nauseum, it feels like, of oversaturation of a product. And you don't want to see that happen to something that has had the longevity of a Bond franchise. You know, we just said 63 years that it's been around, and the books are probably even longer than that. I mean, I can't math that, but I'm sure it's longer. It's had, what, almost a dozen or so different versions of Bond throughout the years. So it's,
if we count everything,
is that going to balloon to 24 in the next five? Like, I don't know what we're in store for.
Well, it's interesting, because on the one hand, Eon would not make a movie without James Bond being at the center of it. We discussed, after No Time to Die, that with Daniel Craig's character out of it, the Naomi, or whatever her name was, I'm bad with character names. She was 007 in that film for most of it, and she could have taken over the role. And I think it would have been interesting to have 007 without James Bond for a couple films before they found a new James Bond to fill in the role. Like, I thought that was cool sounding. Now, they're not going to do that because Eon didn't want to, and Amazon's going to reboot everything. But, like, the hopeful part of me is, like, they can run a James Bond, codename James Bond 007, for, like, fucking 4 or 5 movies, have a little TV show running in the background, building up some new character, have that new character become 007, have them run whether they're James Bond or some other code name for a bit, not Jane Bond, some female name they came up with. And then, like, she retires and a new James Bond is hired or something. That's interesting to me from a franchise building perspective, because you can have continuity without, like, having to be too beholden, because when people start getting tired of it, you just bring in a new character and new cast to go with them, and suddenly you have a new show, whether or not it's tied to the old continuity or not.
Yeah, it feels like it's like very much like the Doctor Who treatment right there, right? Mm-hmm. Like revamp, reboot every like, you know, 4 or 5 years, keep it fresh, keep the fan base happy.
Yeah.
You know, keep some good things coming out. Like maybe that's what we get here, and that'd be pretty cool.
That'd be
like
cool.
Doctor Who's very good. So most of the time. Most of the time. The last, you know, 15-ish years of Who has been pretty darn good, you know, from what I've seen. I haven't religiously watched it, but it's been fun. And if you get that kind of an aspect of Bond, that could be neat, you know? Mm-hmm. James Bond is not only a person, but he's also an ideal.
Yeah.
He is, you know, he's like, we've talked a lot about, you know, the villains being like that shadow, that like Michael Myers, like, you know, that enigma. That's what Bond, the shape. That's what Bond is, you know? He is, you know, the suave debonair spy from MI6 that, you know, is just, you know, he's not always the same person, but he is always James Bond. So it could be interesting to see what they do with that.
Yeah, I like that idea. I think the concern most people have is it's not that. It's that they're going to be like, okay, so here's James Bond in this movie. We introduce him. Mm. We introduce, like, 008. We introduce Q. We introduce Moneypenny. And then while we're developing the next James Bond, we have, like, a 6-episode 008 miniseries followed up by Moneypenny, Adventures in Monaco, and then, like, a bunch of other shit. Or they do like they're doing with fucking Citadel right now. I don't know if you've paid attention to that show at all.
Ooh, no, I have not.
It's an Amazon series that they were launching so they could have their own spy franchise. They spent $250 million and got the Russo brothers to direct this 8-episode show that is, from all respects, boring and trash. But it was supposed to launch, I know, it was supposed to launch a franchise. And so they, along with that one, they have international versions from India and Italy. It's like three or so versions of it that they've put out, like, over time since then. Still haven't renewed the original Citadel for another season. Maybe they never will. Maybe James Bond is just going to replace Citadel now. But that was their idea for it. And so I, like, part of me is wondering, are you going to introduce, like, are we going to get a show where Leiter, the CIA guy, like, it gets to do his own thing, or is he going to get a movie? And then, like, they introduce some Indian branch, and then suddenly we have, like, 007 India running for a miniseries. Like, there's a point where you have too much content, which we've discussed for Star Wars, and then you've diluted the brand. And that's, I think, the concern is, when do we get to a point where just enough James Bond content becomes too much? Because maybe they have a good idea for Moneypenny, and she's good for a 4 or 6-episode miniseries. Maybe she's not, and we're all like, why are we watching this?
I mean, if we can get Jeffrey Wright to come in and play that character in a, you know, a short little series, because everything he does is amazing, I'm in for that.
Yeah, that'd be fine. But I
trust they're going to get the casting right at the very least.
I get the concern, I think, is my whole point. Like, I can understand the worry. And it's Amazon. Yeah. When was the last time you watched something on Amazon you really gave a shit about?
It's been a while. You know, I watched
The Boys.
The Boys, probably.
Yeah,
that's probably it, right?
Yeah. Like, they have a lot of shows. They produce a lot of content, but it's like the Netflix syndrome. You're not approaching it from the perspective of the studios. You're approaching it from the perspective of content. And, I mean, Disney's falling into this trap. Paramount's falling into this trap. They're all starting to follow the Netflix model, and no one's following what they used to do with, like, the original Hollywood model, which controlled their content instead of just making it content.
Right. And too much of a good thing is also just too much of something.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know.
It's a concern, because we've seen Star Wars got watered down. Marvel got watered down. Star Trek got watered down. Like, you can find just any number of franchises over the last 6 years since COVID. And like, it was great when COVID was going on and we had stuff to watch. Right. And the studios were actually, like, taking good ideas and
remember
making
the days
good
of Tiger King? It was a much simpler time.
I didn't watch that, and thank God.
God, you missed out.
And you haven't made me watch it, and I'm perfectly accepting of this. But it's this thing of, like, we've talked about this before, too. Like, the studios let themselves try and be Netflix, and they've destroyed almost their entire business in the process, which is all Netflix wanted. But, like, into that, you're inserting James Bond to a company that doesn't quite know what the fuck it's doing with its content production
it's a little scary.
Yeah.
It's a little scary for something that's been around for so long and has been treated, you know, like you said, very well by who had it previously. The concern's valid, but it's just the world we live in now, right? Like anything can happen, anything at any given point. Things move faster than they did 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
It's just what it is. And the days of like, you know, the Bond movie every couple years, you can rely on that, but it's just gone.
Oh,
you know,
gone.
we're gonna be getting it every 6 months. We're gonna get something new, or we're gonna get every year there's gonna be two or three things. Like it's just how it's gonna work. And that's just the world we live in now. It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know, you would hope that some of these things from, you know, our childhood, and you know, you said you weren't the biggest Bond fan, but like some of these things, like I wish could still be the way that almost still feel sacred like they did when we were younger, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I don't care about the James Bond movies. Even when I was a kid, I felt that they were weird and antiquated.
They're campy.
They are.
They're campy.
Going back through and watching them, like, I liked Honor, Majesty, Secret Service. I liked GoldenEye. I liked Casino Royale. Those are the ones I like. And I actually kind of like Quantum of Solace because it's a nice follow-up to I'm the Weird One.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this thing of there is certain campiness, certain tropes. We've talked about that in our previous James Bond cast. And it just, it's like, I get why people like the appeal of him. It never struck for me. Bourne was more my speed. But, like, then they made James Bond into Bourne for a little bit, and I was kind of hooked again. It was kind of fun. Yeah.
It was kind of cool, yeah.
I guess it's the thing of, and Universal tried this, don't get me wrong, that when you try and water down the whole production too much, and you try and stretch something that's a good core idea into a huge franchise like they did with Bourne, five movies, one of which is a legacy, its sequel, one of which was a weird series extension with a different dude, and they did Treadstone for a series like that no one besides me watched. Like, that already felt watered down, and we're only talking six products. Like, now you're giving it to Amazon, who has a ton of money. I think the animated adventures of Moneypenny are in our future.
You know, but maybe if it is the animated Adventures of Moneypenny, that'd be a little easier to swallow because it doesn't throw, you know, a series in live action and too many movies down your throat.
I think you're expecting way too much. I mean, Marvel's doing animated shit, and they still expect you to watch all of it to keep up with their continuity.
I don't know. Like, I'm more of the Bond fan of the two of us. We've talked about this, so I have appreciated, you know, the lows and the highs from the goofiness of the ways they were comedy to the more seriousness of how, you know, the Daniel Craig quadrilogy ended, to your point. In a world of not knowing what to expect, I'm trying for once to look at something that I give a shit about with expectations that it will be okay.
Sure.
But every concern that everybody has is 100% valid. And the outcome toward that end of the spectrum is much more likely, I think.
I think like, of the two, if we're talking the extremes between Eon and Citadel, I'm worried it's going to be more Citadel.
Yeah, I think that's probably what we're going to get, but maybe we get lucky.
Maybe.
Well, I get lucky. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. This has been Not So Life from Asteroid G, bucking for that James Bond Jr. reboot. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul going to go check out the specter that he's got locked in the attic.
We will see you all next time.